clear and golden stream. Why should I be present? Why should I enter in? After all the sinful living and the wicked one I've been, in the presence of Jehovah, as I bow before God's throne, the accuser of the brethren starts to read the things I've done. As I hear the awful charges, one question fills my mind. Why should I not be put in hell to suffer for all time? It's through the blood. That's all I have to plead. It's through the blood. Hanging on our Calvary, that is my only plea. It's through the blood. When I'm walking through a valley and it seems there's no way out, with a wind of sorrow threatening, and they turn my world around, that's when I look to Jesus and the price He paid for me. I can lift my voice in praise to Him and shout the victory. It's through the blood. Hanging on our Calvary, that is my only plea. It's through the blood. Oh, precious is the blood that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know.
If you would tonight,
take your Bible and go with me to the book of Ruth. To the book of Ruth. It's been a good week. I've looked and studied a lot this week into the lives of fathers in the Bible. And we come to the book of Ruth. The story, of course, is about Ruth. And what a beautiful story it is of redemption and God's mercy. But in the shadows, again, of the book of Ruth, we meet up with the man, Elimelech. Elimelech's terrible mistake was used of God to bring Ruth into the picture. And as a matter of fact, we find in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ruth's name. And God uses even poor decisions to bring about what's best for His children. But I think Elimelech made a terrible mistake, and we can learn from his life, and just from the very, very few verses we see, God can give us, I believe, some great insight into Elimelech's life. And tonight I'd like to preach a simple message, Elimelech's move to Moab. Elimelech's move to Moab. Now, if you look with me this evening in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, Ruth chapter number 1, we'll read a few verses together, and we'll ask God's blessing as we open His Word. Ruth chapter number 1, the Bible says, beginning in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose and went with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread." In just a very few short verses, we see basically all there is in the Scriptures about this man, Elimelech. Elimelech made a terrible choice. He chose the world over the Lord. And as we study this, I just want to make some very simple conclusions as we look to God's Word on Elimelech's move to Moab. Let's just consider this first of all. Number one, Elimelech moved to the world against spiritual light. I'll say it again. Elimelech moved to the world against spiritual light. It's amazing the insight that we can draw from just a few short verses of Scripture. Look with me in verse number 1. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Now I just want to take just a second and look at it. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now, the Bible says that for a reason. There's a reason that the Bible says that it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. When we study this book of the Bible, this is the only real evidence we have of its time stamp. But if we take our thoughts and direct our attention back to the book of Judges, our setting, the book of Ruth, is set during that time. Most Bible scholars want to think that this happened in the days of Gideon. Boy, I like Gideon. What a great guy. What a great man. God used Gideon in a mighty way. If you remember how things worked in the book of Judges, God's people, the children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord continually. And all through the book of Judges, it is a story of Christian people wasting their lives. Why? Because they wanted to please their flesh. Now, in this connection from the book of Judges to the book of Ruth, the Bible says that the setting of the book of Ruth occurred when the judges ruled. If you remember the history, the way things went, there were for the children of Israel in the book of Judges, they would rebel against God. When they rebelled against God, then God would turn them over to their enemy. There would be a period of time, when their enemy would take advantage of them, and the children of Israel would completely lose their power and their ability to move forward for God and His glory. But God in His mercy would raise up a judge, and when the judge came on the scene, the judge was used of God. The judge preached with power and explained the truth, and a generation of people would come to faith again in God, and there would be rest for a period of time in the nation of Israel under the power and blessing
and leadership of that judge. Now, the Bible says, beginning in the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter number 1, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. I want you to know something. Elimelech did not leave Bethlehem, Judah, in a time of spiritual unrest. He did not leave Bethlehem, Judah, when everything was broken up, when the enemy was in control. He did not flee as a refugee from some kind of evil. But actually, Elimelech moved to the world and sinned against great spiritual light. At a time when most likely Gideon was being used of God to see great victory, when the power of God was on the nation of Israel again for a time, Elimelech got a little bit uncomfortable, and Elimelech moved to Moab. He moved to the world against spiritual light. I want you to be reminded of something. Those of you who've sat under the preaching of the gospel, those of you who've been raised up in Christian homes, those of you who know the Lord and have been saved, to go to the world and sin against such great light as you've been given is one of the greatest sins that any man or woman could commit. Do you understand that we know that God is in control? We know that God is right. We know the Bible is the Word of God. Yet sometimes, in spite of all the truth that God has revealed to us as His children, you know what we choose? The world. We choose the lust of the flesh. We choose the lust of the eyes. We choose the pride of life. We decide that, you know, we don't have to be so separated from the world after all, but God's plan and God's Word has never changed. And the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." I want you to know something. Elimelech moved to Moab, but he didn't move there because he was ignorant to the things of God. He moved to Moab when the judges ruled, and he sinned against great light. And to sin against great light brings about great judgment from the chastening hand of our Father God. And I would fear His wrath. But more than anything, I would fear to displease my Lord. My God who loved me so much that He sent His own Son to die on the cross for my sins. I would fear to move to the world because God has given me so much light. To turn my back on Jesus Christ now, oh, how foolish. But I want you to know something. It happens all the time. And Elimelech did it. Elimelech did it. And when Elimelech turned his back on God, he had to pay the price. Elimelech moved to Moab. He moved to the world against spiritual light. Number two, he moved to the world in a time of trouble. This is when it happens. Things get a little uncomfortable and we say, I got to get some help. But we go to the wrong place. Look what he said. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons." Do you know what was happening in his life? Things got a little bit difficult. It's interesting to study the Scripture and to try to understand and grasp what's going on in the nation of Israel at this time. There are all kinds of historical documents and all kinds of biblical record of these times, and there's not much evidence of a very large famine. The reason we believe that most likely Gideon was the judge in which this story takes place is because during Gideon's reign was the only time that there was a famine, and there was a famine. But it wasn't so bad that it wiped everybody out. As a matter of fact, God proved Himself over and over again, as He always does. But things got a little uncomfortable.
Elimelech, you know what his name means? His name means, my God is king. Elimelech, whose name means, my God is king, and his wife Naomi, which means the pleasant one, and their two little boys, Mahlon and Chilion, get a little uncomfortable. You know what Mahlon means? It means sickness. Chilion, you know what it means? Consumption. It seems like Elimelech and Naomi, who are the picture of health and wonderful people, have in their presence and born into their family two sickly, troublesome children. They start getting a little upset about what's going on at home, the condition of things, and it just doesn't seem like things are right anymore. And what's wrong with our boys? What can we do different? And by the way, we're getting a little bit hungry. It ain't too bad, but oh my, I'm getting a little stirred up and I get a little uncomfortable. Have you ever been around somebody that begins to doubt the Lord? Now look, Elimelech had no reason to doubt the Lord. The Lord had always been faithful. He'd always done what He said He would do. Elimelech had proven Himself. God had proven Himself to Elimelech all the time. He was raised by parents that believed in God. Otherwise, he would not have a name like Elimelech. They said, we love our little boy when Elimelech was born. He said, we're going to name him, our God is King. And we're going to trust that he'll trust the Lord. But in spite of his raising, in spite of the past, in spite of the promises of God, Elimelech moved to the world when things began to get uncomfortable. I want you to know, there are going to be constantly seasons of life as Christians when things get a little uncomfortable. I've said it a few times lately, but I like it. You can't expect to have all honey and no bees. You can't expect to have all roses and no thorns. And the Christian life and the promises and blessing of God do not exclude suffering and trouble and trial and heartache and times when things are difficult. God wants, by His grace, to prove Himself to you in the darkest times of life. And when things get dark and troublesome and you want to move, you want to get away, you want to move to the world, you look across the fence and you say, boy, it's green over there. Friends in the world, they're not struggling. They don't have this burden. I think I'll go to the world. I think I'll move to Moab. It's getting a little difficult and life is hurting and it's hard. I'm hurt. The worst thing that any person can ever do is move to the world and sin against the light that God has given. You see, they moved to the world. Elimelech moved to the world in a time of trouble. I've heard it said like this many times and I love it. Do not doubt in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. I want you to know something. It was a glorious day as a little boy when I realized I was lost on my way to hell. And I found the remedy that it was Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. And I receive Christ by faith as my Savior. That is a bright day in the life of Cody Sturgill. And I will not doubt the promises of God when things get rough. I remember the day I got baptized. What a joy it was. I knew I was following the Lord. I wanted to raise my hand and say, yes, I identify with Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. I remember standing around a campfire. God had been dealing in my heart for months and months and months and months. And I'd been praying very fervently, Lord, what is it You want me to do with my life? When God made it clear that He wanted me to be a preacher, I was 15 years old. It wasn't popular. But I knew God wanted me to preach. And I stood at a campfire very, very boldly, led by God. And I said, I want you to know something, friends. God's called me to preach. Some people sneezed, laughed. Other people rejoiced. I didn't care what anybody thought. It was very clear, crystal clear, at that moment that God called me to preach. I remember when I fell in love with Ruth. She's like, oh no. I met her at Walmart. It's wonderful. You can get anything you need at Walmart. I remember crying over her. Oh, I was crying over her and brokenhearted. She broke my heart. Can you believe that? She made me chase her for 2 years. I remember... I'm looking at John Ellison tonight. Wave at us, John. I was so devastated because Ruth wouldn't give me the time of day. I went to the altar one night and I was just broken. And John Ellison came up behind me and prayed with me. I remember, thank you. It worked out. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. There have been times when I didn't feel like a Christian, but God never retracted my salvation. And there have been times when I messed up like I did on Wednesday night that I thought, well, I ain't much of a preacher. But God's called me to preach. And any time a man and a woman are married, life's not always smiles and giggles. There's trouble along the way. But I made a very wise decision when I said I do to my wife. And every time I've ever said yes to Jesus Christ, I want you to know something, it's been right. But every time I've ever said yes to the world, it's been wrong. And Elimelech made a terrible mistake. Elimelech doubted in the dark what God had established in the light. And he moved to the world when times got troubled. And I beg you, don't do the same thing. You see, Elimelech moved to Moab. And the devil loves it when his children do that. Elimelech moved to the world against spiritual light in a time of trouble. Number three, he moved to the world away from the provision and blessing of God. Look at this first verse again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. I'm interested in that name, Bethlehem, Judah. Do you know where he left? Do you know what the name Bethlehem, Judah means? Bethlehem? Bethlehem means the house of bread. He walked out of the house of bread to a place and a people cursed by God. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It does not matter how difficult things may get as a child of God. To move to the world is to move away from the provision and blessing hand of Almighty God. God's children have no right leaving Him for the wickedness of this world and the lust of the flesh. Do you know what he did? Elimelech turned his back to Bethlehem. He turned his back to the house of bread and moved and made his way to a place cursed by God. How foolish. How foolish. We say, I'd never do something like that. But every time we choose the world over God, we've done the same thing. We've tied the blessing hand of God. We've prevented His moving and His working. We've prevented Him from doing what is best for us because we've chosen what we want to the neglect of what we need and the person we must follow. You see, Elimelech moved to Moab. He moved to the world in a time of trouble. He moved away from the provision and blessing of God. Number four, he moved to the world for temporary gain. For temporary gain. Why did he go? Oh, we never say we're going to stay there forever. What are you doing? Why aren't you faithful to church? Why aren't you reading God's Word? Why aren't you walking with God as a Christian? You know that's the right thing to do. Well, I'm not going to do it forever, but you know, for just a time, if I could just a little time,
I need to get a break, and I'm going to go down to Moab. I'm going to let my hair down, and I'm going to do what I want to do for just a little time. That's what he said. You know the word sojourn means? Verse 1, we see the word sojourn. I have it circled in my Bible. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. What's that mean, to sojourn? Anytime you use the word sojourn in the Bible, it was not intended for long term. Elimelech did not say, you know what, I'm going to go to Moab and I'm going to die there. I'm setting my roots deep. I'm moving to the world and I'm going to dig in and I'm going to stay there till I die. I've never talked to somebody struggling with the world who said, I'm just going to go and die in the world. I said, just a little while, you know, I got my life to live. I want you to know something. Sin takes you further than you ever wanted to go and keeps you longer than you ever want to stay. And the end of sin is death. We could ask Elimelech, and he would testify, because he didn't sojourn. He died. He never went back again to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread. He never again, in the will of God, embraced his wife and children. He never again got what he really went for. Because you never get what you went for when you go to the world. Moses said it right. He said it's the pleasures of sin for a season, but it always ends high and dry. That's not what God wants for our lives. That's not what God wants for my life and my family. Elimelech's move to Moab. He moved to the world for temporary gain. He said, I'm just going to sojourn. He said, we can say it like this. I can hear him say, I went to visit, but I stayed too long. And anytime you tempt and test the world and wickedness of sin, you're going to stay longer than you wanted to stay. It's never right to do wrong. And God's children are to abhor the world. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. They stayed. It wasn't a sojourn. It wasn't long until their sojourn turned into a continue. They continued there. In verse number 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. In just the next few verses, both Mahlon and Chilion die also. And before you know it, it's just Ruth and Naomi making their way back to God's people and God's place where God blesses again. But the lesson I believe the Lord has for us tonight is that Elimelech moved to Moab. Elimelech moved to the world against spiritual light. He moved to the world in a time of trouble. He moved to the world away from the provision and blessing of God. He moved to the world for temporary gain. He moved to the world. Number 5. He moved to the world and lost his life. The last few days that he lived were in rebellion against God. How terrible. And before you know it, Elimelech is dead. His body rotting. His family broken. Why? Why? Why did his wife say, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. In the later verses, she said, because I don't deserve the name Naomi. I don't deserve a name that says I'm pleasant. She says, my husband's died, my boys have died, and I'm coming back
to Bethlehem, Judah. Mara. You know what it means? In great bitterness. In great bitterness. A broken-hearted woman and two boys standing over the dead body of their father. Why? Because he moved the world. And I pray by God's grace that my children and my wife don't have to do that. And you better pray by God's grace that your family doesn't have to do that. And may God teach us a lesson from a man who made a terrible mistake, Elimelech, the man that moved the world.